Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. This is your very first podcast of 2015. Say goodbye to 2014. Come on, Daniel, say goodbye to it.
Goodbye. I don't want to say goodbye to it because we're recording it before then.
So. No, we're not. We're coming early. No,
we?
Yes.
Okay. Farewell, 2014. It's been a roller coaster, especially that final week. That was incredible.
Oh, I couldn't believe
last
what
week
happened.
Of 2014.
Really? It's going to be one. It was one of my favourites as well. Anyway, over the course of the next hour or so, myself, Daniel, and Chris will be looking at some of the most exciting things coming up over the next 12 months or so. And I think we'll probably do it month by month because we haven't really prepared anything else.
It's freeform. It's like it's a jazz podcast.
Yeah, I already see, though, mistakes on this version.
Why?
Why?
Well,
there's a February film that comes out in January.
Honestly.
Freeform. Freeform again.
If this is what 2015 is going to be like, I'm out.
But I can paper over the cracks. Do you want to start with the games of January, then?
Okay, yes. Well, ironically, Daniel's just saying one of the games that's announced in January you can buy, or you could have bought in December.
This is a shambles right here.
By the time we hit February, it'd be fine.
It's all going to go off schedule. And also, everything will get cancelled and moved and delayed into 2016. Yeah, so Captain Toad Treasure Tracker is now street legal. It's hit the street.
I wouldn't say it's street legal.
Well, game between it out from their official accounts.
But that's still, unless they've had the blessing from Nintendo.
Nintendo probably just want to get it out. Because it's a great Christmas game, yeah. I think. So Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, it's like the little 3D puzzle levels from Super Mario 3D World. It looks really cute. I've not played it yet, but we gave it a pretty good review. I like a good puzzle game.
Yeah, it looks interesting. It looks, it's nice that it's not a kind of one of their standard Nintendo games that they roll out.
I kind of feel like it doesn't feel like a fully fledged game, maybe like a £20 game or something like that.
Yeah.
But I like Toad.
What can you tell me about this Captain Toad character?
So, you know Toad.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the big
mushroom head.
Yeah, it's him.
It's him. He's got his own game.
And he's like, I didn't know he's a captain.
I'm not sure he is.
I thought
he was a lieutenant.
Adhering to the fiction established in this new series, he's a treasure tracker. So he's like a little archaeologist. He's got a little torch on his head. What are they called, those?
Miner's torch.
He's got a miner's torch. And he's
head torch?
Yeah, head torch. Yeah.
Head torch? Anyway, he's got one of them. And
it's good that we're all rejuvenated after the Christmas break, isn't it? So.
I don't know what they call them.
Miner's helmet torch. Anyway, he's got one.
He's got a torch on his helmet.
Yeah.
And
he goes into some dark caves.
With Toadette. Anyway, so, yeah, what else is out?
GTA 5 is finally coming to PC, and hopefully heists are coming very soon, although that hasn't actually been announced, but it's got to be soon.
So it's going to look pretty snazzy on PC. That is an official graphics word, snazzy. Yeah. It's going to be running 4K on PC.
You'll need a beast of a machine to get it running, but yeah.
And also a 4K monitor.
Yes. But GTA 5 finally coming to PC, and then a game that you know a little bit about, Dying Light.
Dying Light's coming out.
I haven't really heard about it.
So, for a little context, because people might not realise this is a recurring office gag, Rich and I did the IGN first on Dying Light. We went to Poland back in the end. It was just before Halloween. We went to Poland to Techland in the Polish city of Wrocław, which is the fourth biggest city in Poland, I believe. And we interviewed loads of the designers, animators, artists, directors on the game. And we did all the IGN first videos and previews on the site now. So we know this game probably like better than any other press out there at the moment. Yep. We've seen a lot of it. And we're putting a piece live today, not January 2nd, in the past. We put a great piece live 2 weeks ago.
Yep. Rich can edit this. It's fine.
It's fine. About how... So it's from the team who made a game called Dead Island. The game was an incredible success, despite the fact that they released it probably earlier than they wanted to due to publisher pressure to ship on a certain date. So they released a zombie game, and it was, you know, it was marred by slight technical problems. Also, do you remember the really great Dead Island trailer?
Of course, yeah.
Yep. So also, I spoke to the director and the CEO of the studio about that trailer, and it was interesting what they said about it, how that trailer kind of warped the public's expectations of this game. That trailer was made by the game's publisher, independent of the people making the game. And at the 11th hour, they even tried to change Dead Island a little bit to fit in with this trailer made by other people, which is a bizarre turn of events. So ultimately, what I'm getting to is Dying Light is the game they always wanted to make if they had more time, more creative freedom. So it's a fuller expression of like their creative impulses.
Yeah.
And it's a really it's a really cool open world zombie apocalypse game, a bit darker in tone.
Yeah.
Day turns into night constantly, like it's running dynamically throughout while you're playing the game. And when it goes night and turns into night, it gets much more intense and scary. The zombies become more vicious. And it's, yeah, it's a really, from what we've seen, it's a really good game.
But our review hasn't gone live yet.
No.
Yes. No.
But you've played how much?
I played it for about 2 hours, and we've seen other parts of the game.
Yeah.
But I think it looks really good. I think some of the decisions they've made during production show that they have much more control.
Yeah.
They delayed the game. They also aren't releasing it on 360 and PS3 because they saw those additions and they weren't up to snuff.
I think that's good.
So yeah, I I'm looking forward to see what I think. The free running's really cool in it.
Yeah.
A lot of parts of it are really promising.
Yeah, look out for the review.
Cool.
Any big films out?
Well, January's a weird month for movies. A lot of the films coming out in the UK are films that came out in America in November or December in time for the award season.
Right.
So we actually get a lot of really high quality films coming out here in January. Equally, it's a month where films sometimes get buried,
right,
as well. So in terms of Oscar sort of worthy films that probably a lot of our American brethren will have seen, and me and Dan have seen some of these in previous screenings, we've got Birdman.
Yep.
Which is fantastic, well worth a look. Foxcatcher, I haven't caught that yet. You've caught that?
I haven't seen it, though.
Yeah, I really want to see that one. American Sniper, you have seen?
I have seen, but I don't know when I can really talk about it, so yeah.
I don't think we liked it.
you can talk about it.
Yeah, didn't like it.
IGN as a company didn't like it. Inherent Vice, the Paul Thomas Anderson movie, which I didn't love.
No.
But it's certainly interesting. And then in terms of stuff that's, I feel like it's getting buried a bit, Taken 3 and Woman in Black 2 are both kind of coming out. I've seen Woman in Black. It's an inferior sequel.
Right.
I'm guessing Taken 3 will be an inferior sequel.
Like,
but
it will still, I bet you Taken still does all right.
It will, but it might. I feel like we're getting to the end of that
it's diminishing
cycle,
a lot.
Isn't it?
I almost feel like it's getting to a point where I'm surprised that's even coming out in the cinema. Like it could almost
trickle
out.
It's kind of a joke
within
a joke, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't Big Hero 6 out in January as well?
Just getting to that. So we've got four really good films as well coming out in January.
Is one of them Big Hero 6?
Yeah, it's okay. Big Hero 6, which you've only seen some of.
Yeah.
We've seen all of,
yes,
and we really liked it.
Yeah,
we?
It's a really good movie.
It's already been a huge hit in the States. It's going to spawn sequels, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great movie. Ex Machina, which, yep, I've been going on and on about, which is Alex Garland's film about trying to create an AI. And it's got a couple of Star Wars actors in it, Domhnall Gleeson and Oscar Isaac. And then the girl in it, Alicia Vikander, I think, is just amazing as the robot.
Have you actually seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it, and I already feel like it'll be in my top 10 next year.
Looks like proper sci-fi from the TV, the featurette that we ran on site. It looks like, you know, it's grappling with some kind of old sci-fi ideas, but really relevant ones still.
Definitely. Yeah, it's a really smart film. I've been comparing it to people to Moon. I think it's that kind of clever, thought-provoking, really tight, quite simple story, but really well told. What else have we got? We have Whiplash, which is actually done on the Oscar films. I'm pretty sure that'll be on my top 10 next year.
Right.
It's kind of a cross between Rocky and the first half of Full Metal Jacket, but in the world of drumming.
Wow, that's an elevator pitch.
And I think that J.K. Simmons, who plays kind of the bully teacher of this kid, who's a prodigy drummer, not for the prodigy, he's just really good at drumming. I think he could win the best supporting actor next year. He's that good in it.
I love J.K. Simmons.
He's such a good actor.
Well, I remember we did this email throw where we were thinking of doing a list of the greatest like Marvel performances in Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And I just, like, not trying to be contrarian, even though it's a contrarian answer, it seems. I just went J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson in Spider-Man movies. He's so good.
Yeah.
Like, he's properly stand out. He is that character.
Yeah.
He still terrifies me, though, from the TV show Oz. If you ever saw the TV show Oz, he played a neo-Nazi who did bad things to other men in prison. Just a terrifying human being. And finally, we have Kingsman, The Secret Service coming out, which we've talked about for quite a long time.
In February.
January 29th.
Oh, this month.
Close.
This month. Really, really well worth a watch. It kind of does for spy movies what Kick-Ass did for superhero movies. So it's a good spy movie, but it also kind of pokes fun at them.
Yeah.
And it's very non-PC and just...
Colin Firth, right?
Colin Firth.
Is that quite a surprise that he assumed that role?
Definitely. Well, he's playing...
I think they play that.
Yeah, play upon that because he's playing like a gentleman spy.
Right.
But he also... It's like super, super violent as well.
The action isn't gentlemanly.
No. Right.
That's does he drop the C-bomb? Just like...
There are a few C-bombs.
I mean, it's got that immature through line that a lot of Mark Miller's comics have. Yeah. But I think the comic is better. The film is better than the comic. They were written side by side, actually. Right. But yeah, Colin Firth's in it, Samuel Jackson, Michael Caine, and then the youngster in it is really good. Is it Taron Egerton? Is that the guy's name?
Yeah,
name?
Something like that. It's like...
Anyway, it's kind of a star-making turn from him as
well. Yeah, he's really good.
But yeah, that's as much fun as...
It's his first like full film, yeah. He's done some TV and stuff, but
yeah,
he's a real star.
Yeah. We'll be all over that one in
Jan. Because they thought of Aaron Johnson for a while, but then he got like sucked up into Godzilla and Avengers, so they went and found this new kid. He's really good.
Which is what Matthew Vaughn's good at, is kind of finding new talent as well.
Yeah.
So January's actually a bumper month. The rest of these won't be as long.
Oh. All right, then. Well, why don't we start with movies for February? Because I find this weird.
Oh, I've been talking for a long time now. So, February, we have Jupiter Ascending coming out, the Wachowskis film that was put back a whole year. So, I don't think anyone here really loved the trailers.
No.
I find the trailers quite odd. I find there's very little to kind of latch onto. It's kind of...
It looks bonkers.
I find the Wachowskis pretty hit and miss, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
More miss than hit.
Definitely. Yeah. I agree. But they're good at world building. Mm. It's just whether you can tell... I feel like with this one, it's
they're good at world building. If you're parched, you want these boys next to you.
I think with this one, it's whether or not you can take the universe they've created seriously, because it all looks a little bit silly.
Right.
And like you might be laughing at it rather than...
I think Eddie Redmayne's kind of villain. I think I've seen that character, you know, this kind of... Spoiled prince brat.
Yeah,
quite a few times.
Yeah,
it's a really stylized world. I just it's high fantasy sci-fi, which is a weird mix. I think.
Mm. I mean, Warner have got a lot riding on it because they've spent a fortune on the film, and it's supposed to be the start of a franchise. But I don't know. The signs aren't good at the moment, so we'll wait and see on that one.
Yep.
There's a time travel movie called Project Almanac that looks quite cool. It looks a bit like kind of Chronicle, if it was a time travel movie. Don't know too much about it, but the trailer's really strong. 50 Shades of Grey.
So that's out on... Is it Valentine's Day that's out?
February 13th. Yeah.
Would you ever take your other half to go and see, like, got a Valentine's treat for you, I'm going to go and see 50 Shades of Grey?
Well, I think what they're betting on is your other half taking you.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's going to be a lot of boyfriends dragged along to see that.
Oh, I'm going to see if my missus will take me to see Spunky Nuns instead. I'd much rather see that.
Wow. Is that getting a theatrical release, is it?
It is, yes.
It's getting some kind of release.
Well, it's been remade. It was done in the early 70s. They're remaking it for next
Bigger
year.
Bigger budget.
Reboot. Reboot the Nuns. But I guess mainly they'll be relying on...
I find it weird.
It'll be gaggles of girls going to see it like they did see Sex and the City where, you know...
Is it so it's being pitched like that, is it? Because my missus has no interest in either the books or the films or whatever, whereas Sex and the City was a huge part of her life.
Yeah, but that's just your missus. I think 50 Shades of Grey has become a massive part of a lot of women's lives, and that's something they all talk about.
Your other half?
I think she read it.
right?
Yeah.
But obviously...
No, everyone who reads it doesn't like it. I don't know anyone that thinks it's a brilliant... But they do read all three of them, even though they don't like them.
I can't imagine your missus has
No
read
way.
Them.
She'd rather go see Kingsman.
Right.
But anyway, I don't know what we're talking about. We're not going to go see it. I guess I might see it if I have to review it. It'd be quite a fun one to review.
You're going to watch it on your own.
I'm sorry, thinking of the puns already.
There's a couple more worth checking out. Black Cat's coming out, which is Michael Mann's new movie. Michael Mann is always worth a watch. This one is about... It's quite timely, actually. It's about kind of internet crime.
Right.
And stars Chris Hemsworth.
Why is that timely?
Just what the stuff would happen. It's about hacking stealing files and things like this. And it's a cyber terrorist that they're on the hunt for. Right. Predestination is out, which is a small release, but it's a really good time travel movie. I reviewed it 18 months ago now. So yeah, go back in time and read that review. Ethan Hawke. Focus, we saw the trailer for that and it looked quite good, didn't it? The Will Smith.
Yeah, it wasn't really on my radar, so no. It's kind of con man heist movie with Will Smith, who is very charming in it. It's also got Margot Robbie, so two of the stars of the future Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah. It looked fun, it looked sexy. It looked kind of like a kind of Ocean's 11.
That sounds like an awful quote for the poster. Fun and sexy. It looks like silly IGN.
They can use that now, it's out there. any more on that one?
No, that's it.
We have two horror movies coming out. Monsters Dark Continent, which I've seen. Sequel to Monsters. It's actually more of a war movie this time around. It's not great. Go watch Monsters again. It Follows is really good. It's kind of like a slasher movie, but the kind of the thing they're hiding from is a sexually transmitted ghost.
What?
Yeah. What? It's better than it sounds.
Right. I'd always hide from a sexually transmitted.
It's a sexually transmitted ghost, and the only way you can get rid of it is by having sex with someone else, and then you pass it on to them. So it's kind of an AIDS thing going on there.
Right.
And the Backstreet Boys documentary's out.
Oh, Jesus. All you right. are scraping the barrel here. God.
I love the Backstreet Boys.
There are better games coming out than that, thankfully. Evolve after, goodness knows how many months we've been talking about that game, but that's finally out in February. We saw the new monster, the Wraith, at the end of last year.
Yeah.
Looks pretty scary. You can teleport very quick, and it's got big clawy dagger thingies.
Yeah, it looks like something out of Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
So he's the third, or he or she is the third monster that's in the game as it ships, and there's going to be a fourth one that's DLC, they've said, and you can vote currently on the name of that undisclosed monster.
Yeah.
It was our game of E3, super exciting, 4v1 game. We did a first on it back in October, November.
Yeah. I'm really excited for it.
I just want to play it.
Exactly. I've seen so much of it now. Like, I just want to have team of people, because you need the same people.
Yeah.
You need to get good at playing each of the classes, basically.
It's one of those games where it's the concept, is the game.
Yeah.
You know, they can't trickle out any more real story details. Yeah, they've released more monsters, but it's just this game that you now just want to play and, you know, experiment with the different teams
and
composition.
Like, hopefully there are a lot more maps and, you know, other kind of bits that they've kept back.
Yeah, and the evacuation mode sounds cool, where it, like, kind of Left 4 Dead style, takes some of the game's existing modes and puts them in a playlist that kind of masquerades as a loose narrative.
Yeah.
But it's really just like playing four or five games back to back.
Yeah.
I really want to get that set up in the office.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's exciting. And then The Order 1886 finally comes out as well. I'm still not convinced about that game. I love the idea of it when I first saw it, but every piece of gameplay that I've seen has been like, looks okay, but it's not really setting my world on fire.
I don't think it's all that fun to play. Yeah. And also, I think, so one positive thing to say about it, one really positive, I think it's one of the most... It's one of the best looking games I've seen on PS4. Yeah, it looks stunning. The animation's incredible. But I think the animation's so good on it that it creates a disconnect between... You don't feel like you're playing it.
Yeah.
So I played it a bit. And because when you press forward on the stick, the guy walks in such... Like, every step is so heavily animated that you don't feel like there's one-to-one control over him.
So if you take your finger off the stick, he finishes his walk or something like that. Right.
It feels like a bit... overwork to make it look so good.
Right.
Cool. Any more games?
Hang on a minute. That drilling.
I know, I heard it.
I know. Can you just make a note of when that was?
I don't know when we started.
They fucking better not. Okay. Let's just try and get it done. We've only got another 10 months to go. Sorry.
Let me just check what time it is on the camera.
Okay.
Right.
So that's it for games in February. But then we've got March. Now, Biggie comes in March, and a game that you're particularly excited about, Bloodborne.
That's my most anticipated game of next year.
Yeah, so spiritual successor to Dark Souls
Soul
and
series,
Demon's
yeah.
Souls.
Yeah, so Dark Souls 2 came out. Great game. Loads of people loved it. A lot of people who were big fans of Dark Souls and Demon's Souls, then they really picked up on the fact that something was missing.
Yeah.
And when you analyse the credit list for Dark Souls 2, you realise a lot of the core talent that worked on Dark Souls and Demon's Souls, most notably the director, Miyazaki,
yep,
was missing from the creative team on Dark Souls 2. So yes, it had a lot of the same sort of ethos as Dark Souls, but it lacked that just that little bit extra something.
Yeah.
The A-team wasn't on it.
It's a little bit like the Arkham Origins, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, Rocksteady won't work on
that. I think even
that.
More, like, of it's course. Closer than that because it's still in-house, but
yeah,
you can tell it's From Software. B team is better than a lot of other people's. You know, it's like Barcelona B.
Yeah.
They're still pretty damn good.
It's funny because From Software are a
small developers.
They're a tiny developer, but yeah, that, you know, when Demon's Souls and Dark Souls came out, that has just catapulted them into the limelight.
Yeah. They're like, I think they're one of the most highly regarded.
Absolutely.
And it's
yeah,
also the design philosophy.
Yeah.
Well, what I really like about Dark Souls, and I came to it late, I've talked about it on the podcast before, and I kind of still hate people who kind of bang on about it, but it's a game that is a game. It doesn't try to be like a film,
yep,
or anything like that. It's a game that's hard, it's got boss battles, it's about mastering simple things like blocking and attacking,
yep,
and if you get good at them and you master its systems, you get further in the game,
yep,
and it shows you more cool stuff. And that's like a really old fashioned idea of what a game is. You get good at it, you get to see more cool stuff. And that's really satisfying.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was never a big fan. I'm not a big fan of, like, swords and sorcery and dragons and stuff like that. What I am a big fan of is, like, monsters, horror, and Victorian literature and gothic castles. And they've reset this new game in exactly that locale. So when you play the alpha, you can see this, like, Lovecraftian Cthulhu-like monster on this big gothic cathedral in the distance. And
cool,
thinking maybe I'll go fight that eventually.
Yeah.
So it's set in a world that I find more compelling.
Yeah.
And like Dark Souls, what's going to be really good is all the kind of mythology. Because you've seen very little of that game because they're a very secretive studio.
Yeah.
I would imagine that's going to be on lots of Game of the Year lists come the end of 2015.
Battlefield Hardline.
Well, cool.
Probably. Well, you and I played the single player a bit. I've played a little bit of the multiplayer. I don't know. I like the idea of it. I wasn't convinced from the hour or two that we had.
I don't think it felt
to play.
Yeah, I think the idea sounds cool, but the execution didn't feel particularly fresh.
And again, it's unfair to judge at this early stage. You know, they've still got another 2 months in production, but I can't see how much polish they're going to add to the game in that. The multiplayer itself just felt like a reskinned Battlefield, which essentially that's what it is. It's the police rather than military. It didn't really feel like it's not promising the kind of high stuff that GTA is promising when that comes out. But I don't know, we'll see.
Well, a big selling point is that it's going to be like a TV narrative. It's going to be episodic. You don't have to wait for it. You can just play certain levels and then there'll be a cliffhanger. I think a lot rides on just how good your script writing is, your characters, your performance. All that stuff has to really hit. Otherwise, you'd be like, this is lame.
Yeah.
So we all play video games. As much as we love video games, a lot of them don't have great performances or stories. It's like the ones that do really stand out.
Yeah.
And if your whole hook is like, oh, you want to play the next episode, you've got to be really confident in that story.
Like one of the things I liked about it, so there's the badge mechanic. Like you go up to a bad guy and you flash
that's
a badge
pretty cool,
and he puts his gun down, hands up, and you can cuff him. And obviously you get bonus points for doing it that way. You could just shoot him in the head if you wanted to, but obviously you're a legit cop. And then the other bit where you're infiltrating that skyscraper and you've got like multiple routes in, that was quite cool, depending on the weapons and stuff that you pick.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm fairly lukewarm on that at the minute. And then also Project Cars, obviously the kind of community-driven Kickstarter game. Was it
nice
Kickstarter?
Pun. Nice pun.
Why?
Community-driven,
thanks very much.
No problem.
I didn't even think of that. It looks pretty amazing in terms of visuals, but it's a very serious
petrol head
driving game.
Yeah,
it's not my bag.
It's a console game that's going to have a lot of features that you only find on like the most hardcore of PC driving sims. And
but there is a market.
It's like
for
something
that kind of
for everyone. Like if you want to do like high end motorsport, if you want to do rallying, it's like everything. It's like all singing, all dancing.
There is that, because you can start out as a kart driver. You can do, you know, do the Lewis Hamilton, start a kart driver and then go all the way through. So, you know, it's very pure. And if you're into that kind of thing, I think it will service you adequately.
Damning with faint praise.
Yeah. That's just not our sort of thing, I think, it's fair
not
to
my,
say.
No, absolutely.
Not your bag.
No.
Film-wise, we've got Neil Blomkamp's new film, Chappie, which left us somewhat underwhelmed, the trailer, I think it's fair to say.
Mm. It's an awful name.
So we're going to find out, I guess, whether District 9 was a bit of a fluke, or it's going to be the law of diminishing returns with him, because Elysium wasn't as good as District 9. And
it was okay.
We'll see, though. We, you know, let's reserve judgment on that one. You can't judge a film on a trailer. Hyenas.
I've just judged an entire game.
Yeah, that's what we're doing for the next hour.
Yeah. Not seen any of these now from here on in.
In fact, the next film we're going to talk about, I've seen. Ooh. Hyena, British crime drama, kind of like a British Bad Lieutenant. It's really good. It goes some really dark places. A corrupt cop, but it's beautifully shot. It's all kind of neon, kind of influenced by the Italian cop films of the '70s, and it's really good. In the Heart of the Sea, the Moby Dick kind of movie with Chris Hemsworth,
Ron Howard
directing. Whatevs. New Divergent, whatever. Seventh Son. That
we're ripping through these now, aren't we?
Well, I've got lots to talk about. Jeff Bridges' action film that's been put back about a year as well. Looks god-awful. I think, Universal can lose some money on that one. The Green Inferno is supposedly finally coming out. Eli Roth's cannibal movie, which I saw two years ago.
Oh, my God. You reviewed this?
I didn't review
it. No, I just remember you talking about it. This was ages ago.
Yeah. I didn't really like it. It's still got no US release date because something weird happened behind the scenes with the studio that own it. And then
has it changed since you've seen it, do you know?
I don't think so. I'm guessing it's still pretty horrible, but... Right. They wanted to release it in a different way to the producers did, and it's just stuck in limbo. Right. So we might see that. But also, Daniel, Get Hard is coming out. What are your thoughts on the movie Get Hard?
I think it's a really brave film for Warner Bros. to be making in 2015. It's
why is that?
I just can't believe it's a real film still.
Yeah.
So you and I saw the trailer for this a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's a real film. I can't believe it's not a spoof.
It looks like one of those movies, you know, Funny People, the Adam Sandler film.
Yep.
And they had all those crazy films he's supposedly been in, Merman. Yeah, yeah. It looks like one of them.
Right.
Will Ferrell plays a rich businessman who's been doing insider trading and is going to prison for it. And he's under house arrest for 30 days. He decides that the guy who cleans his car, who's played by our old friend Kevin Hart, he decides that because he's black, he's probably been to prison.
Right.
And so he says to him, as you've been to prison, I'm going to pay you to spend the next 30 days in my house teaching me how to survive prison.
Right.
Now, Kevin Hart hasn't been to prison, but he plays along with it because he quite fancies having the money. And then it's just 30 days of him inviting all his
mates around. It seems like.
Yeah, and pretending like prison riots or,
I'd probably like, there's probably a shower scene.
Of course there's a shower scene. You know, they put his hair in like dreads or whatever, and it's just,
so it's a comedy.
Sounds awful.
It's comedy predicated on racial stereotyping.
Wow.
And of course there'll be a moral and a message to prove it isn't.
Oh, I misjudged you and I misjudged you. But I really hope there's a scene where he fires a really big gun.
Yeah. And smashes into the wall. So yeah,
is that all we want from our films?
That's all I want in 2015.
But yeah, Dan and I couldn't believe that it was real. So we'll see. We'll see about Get Hard. So that's it for March movie-wise.
Right. Much bigger in April.
Excellent.
One relatively film. Well, not for games. There's no games coming out in April.
Okay.
Avengers.
Avengers. Yep.
Do you want to talk about Avengers?
You don't let me build up to this stuff, do you? Yeah, Avengers. Friday, April 24th. It's going to be massive. Potentially this year we've got $4 billion movies, and this is potentially the first one of them. The first one made more than $1 billion. There's no reason to think this one won't. 3D, probably IMAX, all that stuff.
Yeah.
On the ticket prices. We've talked about it a lot on the superhero show, but we like the look of it.
Does toys come into the $1 billion thing, or is it just theatre sales?
Just theatre. Yeah, just cinema tickets.
Yeah.
It looks a bit darker than the previous one.
Right.
We've talked about it maybe being their, you know, I think they've talked about it being their kind of Empire Strikes Back, where it's pretty grim. Maybe a character dies, we don't know. But yeah, I think this is going to be a darker take on that material. And maybe that's kind of what we said about the first one. We'd like to see it you know, get a bit more serious. Yeah, so. Yeah.
It's also like, it's a movie that has real, I think all these Marvel movies now have ramifications that extend beyond their immediate running time. But I think Avengers is the one where it has the biggest effect because it influences all those characters so for all their individual movies from then on. So I think you can almost see that. We know a lot more about where they're heading next for each of those characters.
Must be an absolute nightmare for the person who's on like continuity. It's like trying
probably a huge team maintaining all that.
But it'd be very interesting to see the journey that Tony Stark goes on because it feels like he might be responsible for some of the bad things that happen.
I think
here.
Him and Captain America particularly, by the end of that film, are going to, something's going to happen like to their relationship.
To tie into Civil War that's coming up. So yeah, that's the big one for that month. Fast and Furious 7's coming out that month. Again, another film that's been delayed by a year. So we're getting a lot of films that have been... obviously
that's understandable.
Because of obviously Paul Walker's death. But yeah, I'm excited to see what James Wan does with Fast and Furious.
Still never seen a Furious film.
The last couple are good.
People wacky raced heist movies. Yeah. That sounds a lot of fun with real life stunts and the trailer's really
maybe
good.
Maybe if I've got some downtime over Christmas, I'll watch
a few.
There's a couple of really good action movies. Everly, which is Die Hard in a Room,
right,
starring Salma Hayek. And John Wick, which I've been prattling on about a lot. John Wick's one of my favourite films I saw last year. I don't know why we're getting it so delayed. But yeah, if you kind of like the original Taken, or you like seeing Keanu Reeves just be deadpan.
Has that still not come out over here?
No, it comes out in April. That's why I've saved it for the April month.
We even had adverts on the site for it.
No.
Oh, I don't know.
I want to put on some screenings of it if we can.
That's so cool in that movie.
Yeah, it's made by Keanu's kind of stunt team from the original Matrix movie. Right. So they spent all this, it's their first movie, but they spent all this time developing something to do with him. So it's...
That really tells you something.
Yeah, they know
really,
not since the first Matrix movie. Yeah. They've kind of been working on it for that long.
Yeah.
How have they really paid for themselves?
Well,
for
no, they've worked as stuntmen, but they've been trying to get
on
a
the
movie
side. Yeah, yeah, like putting this gun. But what's it called? Like Kung Fu?
They called it Gung Fu.
But it's like he's like hitting people with guns and then shooting at the same time. It looks really cool. Okay.
And being that they know him so well and how he operates,
he does action really well.
Yeah. So that's worth watching. There's a movie coming out of a book that I loved called Child 44 that I'm really intrigued to see. It's Gary Oldman and Tom Hardy. Set in Russia during the war. It's grim. It's about the hunt for a child murderer, but it's a great story.
Yeah, bit of a downer then.
And one of the best horror films coming out next year, if you'd call it a horror film, a film called Spring. I've reviewed that one on the site. It's really good. Just trying to go into it not knowing too much because it goes places you're not expecting. But I think that could be one of my favourite films of next year. So,
also out, well, we assume, hasn't actually been announced, but Game of Thrones next season starts.
Yeah.
Winter's coming, still. God, it takes ages for it to turn seasons over there, doesn't it? So,
yep.
I can't actually remember what happened at the end of the last one.
Good.
This is my problem. I need to get back in. I forget to watch the last episode, and so I come to the new... Because it doesn't really give you a reminder, does it?
You forget to watch the last episode?
No, before I rewatch. Watch the next... Get ready. I should prep and watch the
isn't
last
Isn't that what Wikipedia's for, though?
Or
the IGN review.
Yeah.
I haven't got time, man.
It's just the fixture, isn't it, every year?
What happened at the end of Game of Thrones?
Well, spoiler alert.
I do know, but I'm not going to say. Because Chris...
I may watch them one day. I may try for the third time
where
to watch
are
Game
you
of
up
Thrones.
To?
I don't know. I think I've watched one and a half seasons and given up again.
Oh, that's tough shit then. Just tell me what happened.
Why is he swearing on the podcast?
That's not swearing.
Potty mouth.
That's just
potty
frustration. You haven't watched... You don't know. Anyway.
Is that the TV show we're most excited for?
Well, there's lots of other stuff, obviously, because we're midway through seasons of Walking Dead. I think that will start again. That normally happens around the time that I go to San Francisco, so February. So Walking Dead, Arrow, Flash... We're all mid-season.
That's not the TV show I'm most looking forward to in 2015.
What are you most looking
Daredevil.
To? Are you really?
Yeah, Daredevil's one of my favourite Marvel characters. As a teenager, I used to collect Bendis' run on Daredevil, which was one of the best runs. Frank Miller's stuff on Daredevil's really good.
Yep.
And it feels like this is now the expression of the character that fans of the character really deserve. Obviously, I didn't mind the Affleck film when I saw it, wherever that came out, 2003. Something like that. Yeah, yeah. But this, I just think it works really well. I like what they're doing with the Netflix characters. I like the characters they've selected for Netflix. It makes sense to see those characters on the small screen, not the big screen, because they're going to tackle murderers and street level crime rather than intergalactic threats, which need a cinematic scale to be told well. This is going to be, like, I assume, a courtroom drama with a bit of superhero elements thrown in.
Yeah.
So I think it finds a more natural home on Netflix.
Yeah, it's going to be another interesting experiment. Marvel trying to throw a bunch of characters on the screen in separate things and then join them all up. So,
have you seen Marco Polo?
No.
Right.
Have you?
No, but I know that obviously that's their kind of big Netflix thing.
Yeah, right, I didn't really fancy it. But
no, I saw the trailer and I was like, yeah. But obviously everybody raves about House Cards. So,
which is very good.
Yeah. And that's back next year. Early next year.
Yes.
Right, games.
For May, well, obviously a big one that's been delayed, Witcher, is finally out. We know that there are now two playable characters. Huge game. Again, it's not really my bag. It's kind of fancy RPG, more your thing, I would say.
Yeah, I've never played Witcher 1. I played some of 2, but I think 3 is where I'm going to really try and like jump on board and get lost in it. Because I think it looks one of the most impressive next-gen games so far. And it's
like
one
they've
that
certainly
been...
hopefully that extra 6 months of dev time. Because it was coming out this year originally, wasn't it? And then it was pushed back to next year and then further back. But hopefully that means it will be, will deliver on the promise that it's made earlier at E3.
It's got some more of that Polish polish.
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
And then I'm not sure if the Mad Max game is coming out at the same time as the film, because it's gone very quiet on that front.
I think it's all a bit in flux. A bit
because they showed that, well, not E3 2014, the E3 before, and I don't think I've seen pretty much anything on it since.
Wow. You would have thought they'd have enough time with the film going back about a year.
I think maybe they've sat on the game. Maybe just use that time wisely. Yeah.
But it looked all right. But, you know, the new trailers for the film, I thought, looked pretty good.
Yeah, do you think this could be a new franchise, because they've spent a lot of money on it, on a character that's really a cult character. Films themselves weren't hugely successful. No. Mad Max 3 was probably the most successful one.
But again, having Tom Hardy in your lead, that's going to have a pretty big draw. And as I say, I think the trailers that I've seen so far look pretty good.
Yeah, they're quite spectacular, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't know how... Like, the things that I loved about the original Mad Max was it was properly brutal.
Yeah.
Apart from Mad Max 3.
Yeah, it's
obviously.
How much do you have to...
That wasn't quite so brutal.
It's how much do you have to temper those elements in order to make him a blockbuster star.
Yeah, you want to see him doing some horrible things, because he did some... He had horrible things done to him, but then he did some really horrible things as well.
Yeah. The little feral dude from 2 that with the little boomerang that cuts that dude's fingers off. Oh. But then Thunderdome. I watched that not very long ago.
It's not a great film. No, even at the time, it wasn't a great film. It kind of like... It just didn't feel like it was part of the same series.
No.
Is it still George Miller?
Yeah.
But he also did Babe.
Interesting facts.
It's a good film.
It is a good film, but very different.
Yes.
I think I've told you this before. Former England rugby captain Lawrence Dallaglio sings on We Don't Need Another Hero by Tina Turner from the movie. Yeah, they used a school's choir and he was in the school choir that sang it.
That is trivia,
my
friend.
That whole scene where they go off to, I can't remember what the group of kids is called, but it's so weird, the whole thing. It's just,
I am looking forward to rewatching the trilogy though in advance of this, just to
skip three.
Okay,
two's the one, isn't it?
Two's good, yeah.
We've got Britain's Answer to Mad Max coming out in May though, and that is Spooks. The Greater Good. So we've got a Spooks movie happening.
So based on the TV show?
Yeah.
What's that called in America? MI5? MI6?
Yeah. Yeah. Excited?
What's the difference between MI5 and MI6?
One's internal, one's like overseas, isn't it?
Is it?
I'll check.
Okay.
I don't really know much about it.
So I've never seen Spooks.
Yeah,
so
whenever I've seen it, it's been good. I just never quite got into it. I kept, you know, dropping in and out of it, but...
I always had that feeling that it was a little bit kind of, I don't know, budget TV,
BBC.
So. Yeah, well, it was very much like a British 24, but they did that thing where they would horrible, brutal things would happen and they'd kill off characters when you weren't expecting it, which is quite good.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about it.
Okay,
And we also have San Andreas, The Rock, starring in an earthquake movie. Couldn't care less myself.
Shame it's not GTA San Andreas.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, minimal interest, really.
Right.
If you like your disaster movie, though, you can do a lot worse than seeing one with The Rock take you on an earthquake.
But What was that noise? I'm sorry. I thought somebody was like talking to us in a weird way.
It won't barely, it'll barely get picked up on the mic.
I don't care. It put me off.
And then we got Tomorrowland, which is the mysterious film that's kind of cloaked in secrecy that we don't really know much about, but it looks like sci-fi, time travel. Is it Clooney in that one?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know much, but I'm colour me interested.
Okay.
June.
What colour is interested?
I would say purple.
All right. That's your jacket.
Yeah, maroon.
I wonder why you thought that.
Maroon. June.
Yes, E3.
E3.
I don't know what's going to be announced at E3.
Shall we move on then?
No, no, but it's one of those things that, you know, so it's the third, be the third E3 for next gen.
Yeah.
Or current gen, as you would now want to call it. And obviously, I think the first one was all about new announcements. The second one was kind of demonstrating the power of what these consoles can do. Third one, I don't know what the big games that were due out, like Red Dead 2. Can't imagine. Well, that might get announced.
Not at E3.
Well, you never
know. Rockstar will do it entirely on their own terms, I assume.
Unless they've signed a deal with someone.
Maybe with PS4.
But I don't know. It's interesting. Also, like, but Arkham Knight is coming out in June, and games never come out in the middle of summer. So
we always say it's a really good idea on the podcast. Like, we say that games come out in May or June. Really good, because it's a summer game.
I don't understand. I've said this before.
Why don't bring them out?
Because you have most people tend to go outside.
Not me.
Well,
overrated outside, my friend. Yeah. I don't like
outside
the heat
until it gets dark.
Although
it gets dark really late.
Although I would say a Batman game, where it's all set at night on Halloween,
yeah,
isn't probably the best fit for June.
But
it's been delayed. It's been delayed.
Yeah, and if you're going to release a game of that kind of scale, then that's, you would imagine,
it's a blockbuster character
success. Yeah. It's just, you know, I don't know if that was originally penned in for when Batman versus Superman was coming out, and there'd be some synergy there. But that's obviously gone back.
Yeah.
For another year. So I don't know.
Are you excited about Arkham Knight? Even
the
after
more,
like
the
Origins
more I've seen
there.
Of it. Yeah. The more I've, it's, you know, Rocksteady have got a brilliant track record. I didn't actually play all through Origins. I thought it was just, it felt like a copycat of
what they were doing. Yeah.
Yeah,
it felt like, yeah, the B team.
Yeah, and I know that everybody loved City. I thought it wasn't quite as good as the first one. So
I'm a bit sad that Paul Dini's not working on it.
Yeah,
like, he worked on the first two games. He was a big driving force on the animated TV series. Created the character of Harley Quinn.
Yeah,
so for him not to be involved, I feel like, you know, if it's the final part of a trilogy, to like lose one of your main writers, yeah, feels a bit, I find that a bit sad. But
yeah.
So they've introduced this new character, the Arkham Knight. It's entirely original creation for the game, but there's some talk that he might become part of DC canon, Batman canon afterwards.
Yeah.
Big mystery.
Yeah, look, I
around
think
his identity.
They've shown a lot of, well, this one particular level where you're infiltrating Ace Chemicals. So, to show off all the mechanics, the Batmobile's on in it, and it handles really, really well. You know, it switches from like a kind of really maneuverable tank to a kind of high speed car, as you would expect the Batmobile. The combat feels just slightly tighter than it is. It feels like a natural progression rather than something completely new.
Yeah.
But I'm up for that.
I do think if Arkham Knight is revealed to be, say, the Joker or some other character,
it can't be.
It's a little bit, also, it's a bit of a Batman cliche. It's a bit hush. It's a bit like, wait till the final act and, oh, it's someone I knew.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
It won't be Joker.
No, I don't think it will be, because he's too physically imposing. Yeah. But something of that ilk.
Yeah.
Is Dick Grayson or something. Yeah. I don't know where Nightwing figures into the Arkham series. I can't really remember. Yeah. But
And also, Fable Legends is out. I played that E3 this year. Or was it? No, Gamescom, sorry. I don't know. I didn't particularly like it. So it's a bit more like Dungeon Keeper, which Bullfrog released ages ago.
Yeah.
The idea is you've got one guy who basically sets the traps, and then four adventurers go in and try and solve it, and it's that kind of thing. So it's a bit of a departure for Fable. I didn't particularly enjoy it, if I'm honest. But, you know, that was kind of 6 months ago. Still got another 6 months of dev. Let's see. I think it's just a bit sad. A Fable game that's not led by Peter Molyneux.
Yeah,
for all his craziness and bullshit stuff that he used to come out with, it was, you know, he was a fun person to interview and follow.
Yeah.
So,
can't we get him back on the podcast in 2015?
We could have got him to do the Queen's speech. That's how I spent my Christmas, was it 3 years ago or something?
Yeah. I wonder how much
Let's not go there.
I wonder how much of the future of the Fable series hinges on that game. the first one on Xbox One.
Yeah.
If he doesn't find an audience, do they persist with like Fable as a thing? Mm. I know like obviously people who love Fable really like Fable, but I wonder it's about its wider appeal.
It feels you know, it doesn't feel like a traditional Fable game.
They're trying to exploit the brand, but then I don't know if people have the loyalty of the brand if it's not the experience that they're accustomed to.
Yeah, and what was that? What was the Fable Kinect game called?
Oh, Journey.
That's right, yeah. So, I don't know, I think people, Fable fans, probably want a traditional Fable game.
Yeah, they want a next-gen thing, yeah.
Yeah.
On the movie side of things, you were talking about Batman being a Halloween story that's coming out in the summer. We've got a horror movie that you would think would come out at Halloween, Insidious 3, coming out in the summer. And that's happening increasingly, actually, because these horror movies are having huge opening weekends.
Right.
Kids are going to see them like they would go see a blockbuster in the summer, which I think is quite an interesting development. It's the first horror film directed by Lee Whannell, who wrote Saw, wrote Insidious, acts in them as well. So it'd be interesting to see how he does. We also have an Entourage movie coming out. Don't really care, but...
Is it the cast, cast from the TV show?
It's a continuation of the story.
Right, okay.
Whatever. I'll probably catch it when it's on the telly. I quite like Entourage, but any interest?
No.
No. what about the Minions movie?
Oh.
The Despicable Me spin-off?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it is. I hate
Minions.
So Dan hates Minions, which is strong.
They've become icons for idiots.
Icons for idiots.
There you go.
Alex, thoughts on the Minions?
So I've only seen bits of Despicable Me. I haven't seen the whole film.
Yeah.
And so I don't hate them.
I think they're funny in Despicable Me. I don't... There's this weird cult that's arisen around them that I find baffling.
See, I feel similarly about like the Rabbids, Raymond Rabbids. It's just like...
Well, I haven't seen either Despicable Me for my sins. I'm told they're good.
They're really funny in the movie. They are funny.
But interesting, I think, is it 2 years ago? Despicable Me 2 was the most successful film of the year in England.
Yeah.
It made more money than any of the blockbusters. So they're big business, and I have actually seen some footage from Minions.
Right.
It kind of blew my mind because I didn't really know much about them. And the fact they don't really speak, or they speak in their own language.
Yeah, yeah.
You're watching a film that's almost like a silent movie kind of thing because you're not understanding what they're saying. So I mean, it could be huge.
It's all like slapstick, though, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Very much slapstick.
I just also saw the reason I kind of said I saw a picture on Facebook of somebody, a friend of a friend that maybe I went to school with, and they had a wedding cake with Minions on. You're 28. You don't need a wedding cake with Minions on.
Did you reply?
So
icons for idiots.
But obviously the big film coming out in June is Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Dan, thoughts on that one?
Greatest film ever made. No, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be a great movie or anything like that. I thought the trailer was cool. It's exciting. It's always what you wanted to see. It's almost like fan service to a degree. If you're a huge fan of Jurassic Park, you always wanted to see the thing that never happened, which is the park up and running because it looks so cool. Yeah. And I like the fact that it seems the beats of the movie might be similar to the beats of the original, even for all the new weird stuff like the genetically modified dinosaur. Ultimately, still a story about scientists overreaching and everything going to hell.
Yeah.
And a couple of people trying to save the day. Just the stakes are much, much higher, which sounds like Jurassic Park to me in a way that Lost World and Jurassic Park 3 never really felt like Jurassic Park. That's my opinion as a Jurassic Park fan. So I'm really excited.
I'm excited for
Chris Pratt. I love him. I think he's a great leading man. I want to see what he can do in a more kind of, seems a bit more of a serious role. I hope it's not totally po-faced.
Aren't you both doing this crazy Chris Pratt, like, get in shape for Jurassic World thing?
I'm still undecided if I'm going to do it.
Okay. I'm not going to do it.
But yeah, there's talk of the 6 months that he had to get fit for Jurassic World. We're going to try and get fit for Jurassic World release.
The originator of this idea is Mr. Gavin Murphy, who, so Chris Pratt, when for Guardians, he had 6 months to get into shape.
Yeah.
And he did it.
Yeah,
but help nothing else.
Helped by an army of nutritionists and personal trainers.
Yeah.
And the little incentive that if you did it, you'd be in a Marvel movie, incredibly rich and famous.
Yeah.
We have none of that, but we might try different methods. Right. To emulate what
someone
he did.
Suggested an awful one for me the other day because no one else wanted to do it. One of these horrible, I can't remember what it was.
Extreme diets. So Gav's getting a personal trainer.
Yeah.
He's got the best end of the deal.
I might do that.
Yeah.
Well,
I think the people have the greatest chance of doing it is a personal trainer.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to try running
And
the Forrest Gump
and juicing. Nothing solid shall pass these lips for a week.
Oh
in
my
January.
God. I don't want to go near the toilet.
Juicing. I'm going to like drink green juice.
For how long?
For a year. No, for like for a month or something.
You don't eat food? You don't eat solids
for a month?
No, you can just get all your nutrition from juice.
That is, yeah, definitely. No, not, the toilet situation with you.
You mean, that's fine. Quick, if anything.
Just sit down, cough, wipe, and then you're out.
Yeah, I was hoping I'd sit down in time. Alex, I need to go home.
Oh.
So yeah, that's...
Are you laughing now? You're laughing now,
I'm
right?
Laughing
whatever,
now.
Whatever.
Those are our thoughts on Jurassic World.
I cannot wait to see you fighting dinosaurs.
Is any of that going to get on the poster?
So potentially, though, our second billion-dollar movie of the year will happen that month. Jurassic World and Minions has got an outside chance. An outside chance.
Do you think that Terminator Genesis will be a million-dollar movie, which is out in July?
Well, are we moving on to it?
Yes.
So I'm unable to build up to that one as well. I don't like this. I'm trying to structure it.
Chris is scripting this.
Building up to the big talking point.
Also,
some Terminator's going to be a disaster.
This is podcast jazz.
I'm going to say it now. Terminator's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it already is.
And this is judging it on the images and the title and the trailer.
Yeah.
Currently, they're 3 for 3.
The cast as well. I don't like a lot of the cast. And everyone was saying, oh well, at least they've nailed it with Sarah Connor. I didn't see any evidence of that in the trailer. I mean, that girl's an okay actress, but
I didn't expect to pull your chain and you go off like that. Wow.
Linda asked me a question, yeah, I'm giving you an answer.
She's not Linda Hamilton in Judgment Day.
I don't know.
Linda Hamilton in Judgment Day is terrifying.
Yeah.
And the first half of that movie is terrifying.
And hot. I don't know, I'm calling it now. I just think a hot mess.
I think people... Well, it's not true. I was out with someone who loves Terminator last week, and they thought the trailer was amazing.
Right.
Which I find really hard
to... Yeah, fair enough. You know, like I say, it's awful to judge a movie
horses
like this.
Horses, yeah.
But, and also, it feels like the bubble's burst a bit for that series. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
It's been a long time since it was the most exciting thing happening in movies, you know? And it was. In 1991, it really was.
Yeah. But it was a long time ago.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And he's not a young man anymore.
No.
So we'll see. I mean, also that month we have Ted 2. Whatever. Pan. The Peter Pan movie that they're trying to launch as a franchise.
Harry Potter Pan.
Yeah.
That's definitely what they're trying to do
I didn't like the tone of the trailer very much.
Right as well.
Yeah.
Have you seen the trailer?
No.
Like... Very Harry Potter. It goes from him becoming the Pan, which is the mightiest warrior of this tribe.
A newcomer.
Very much like what they did with Radcliffe. Signed him up for a multi-picture deal.
Hugh Jackman's the star of the movie. He plays a villainous pirate.
It's Blackbeard.
Not Hook.
No. Hook. It's one of these films stories where Hook is friends with Pan at this point in the story.
He's like an ally.
He's played by Garrett Hedlund, who was in Tron. And inside Llewyn Davis, he's kind of helping Pan out. He's obviously much younger.
Yeah.
His performance seems a bit broad from the trailers.
Yeah, I can't remember what I thought he was doing in the trailer. Like, yeah, this definitely he reminded me of someone. But yeah, it's really heightened and it looks like a really lavish production.
Yeah,
and there's like great scenes where they're flying through London and it's all really magical and whimsical.
Yeah,
feels more like a Christmas movie than July though.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. We've got the new Pixar movie Inside Out coming out.
Yep.
We don't know a huge amount about that, but we'll probably all go and see it. Grimsby, which I'm quite excited about. Sacha Baron Cohen's new movie where he plays a football hooligan who becomes a secret agent.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah. I think his movies are always worth seeing.
Well, apart from The Dictator, which...
But I don't see that. Is this him writing it, though? Is this...
Yeah.
I mean, that sort of thing. Was it... With Dictator, was he not more for hire?
No. He wrote that with Peter Bainham.
All right. I retract everything I just said.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll reserve judgment on that one. And Ant-Man's coming out.
Mm.
Again, one which we've talked about a lot on the Superhero Show. Could go
Who
either
knows?
Way.
Exactly.
Could go either way. We just don't know. But... You know, maybe it's the most interesting of the summer blockbusters because it's so out there as a concept.
It's a heist movie, Michael Douglas. I think they might be flashbacks to the Marvel Universe in the 1950s. They're trying to fill that in. Agent Carter's out in January.
Yep. Yeah.
Maybe that's an aspect of the Marvel Universe they might want to just like fill in a little bit.
Yeah.
We will see with Ant-Man. Are you excited about Ant-Man?
I want to see some trailers. Get a
you want to see
feel
like,
for what
the action's
movie's
like.
Gonna
yeah,
be
yeah.
Like.
Yeah, it's so, hard to. We don't really have a clue now, do we?
All we know is the kind of some of the rumors, untold stories, and you know, everybody
trouble behind the scenes.
Really wanted,
but you know,
it, so.
Yes, Marvel's got a pretty okay. damn good track record. So,
Point Break remake as well.
Yeah, the Point Break remake,
pointless,
which
Point
is
Break.
Coming out a month later. So maybe we'll talk about that in August. This is your list that's
incorrect.
Not
my calendar.
This is your list that's incorrect. So let's do games, I guess. In
well,
July,
nothing comes out.
Nothing come out.
July, August, very quiet. Obviously, Gamescom is happening in August. We'll find out. We'll play a few more games of the stuff that we saw at E3, but nothing comes out.
Do you want to talk about the Point Break remake that's coming out in August? Then
why not?
Is there one coming out?
Yeah, starring Ray Winston. I mean, yeah.
Who does he play?
I'm guessing Carrie Boosie. It's not a direct remake, right. And it's putting it in the world of extreme sports rather than surfing.
Right.
So it's, I mean, they're taking a name and a vague concept and using that, but spinning it into their own story. I mean, whatever. This has been gestating for 10 years, and I can't believe the Point Break name is that important. That
yeah, like, you
know,
I,
but studio
I
people.
Imagine the audience they're trying to pitch that to. Probably don't know what Point Break is, let alone seen
it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I remember really enjoying it.
It's a very film of its time.
Yeah,
if you go back and watch it.
Right.
There's some big movies out that month though. Fantastic Four, which we've talked about
again,
in the Superhero show.
We've
done this show actually. Again, it's similar to Ant-Man though. We have no idea what it's going to look like, what the tone of it's going to be. Until we see a bit more of it,
there's
it's hard to kind of call
that.
It.
Like, nothing.
Apart we like the young cast. Like, it's a really good young cast.
And Toby Kebbell, when he was doing press for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, let slip. I think it was a tactical decision to let him say it. He was talking about the approach, how he's playing Victor Doom, but he's actually called Victor Domashev. He's a hacker. Maybe has helped out by recent events that might seem a bit more contemporary, a bit more relevant when it comes out.
Yeah. We will see. Pixels is out that month, which is based on a short movie that you should check out if you haven't. And it's about video game characters coming to life and invading.
The posters look great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The short's amazing. Right. I was on a jury at a film fest about 4 years ago and we gave it a special award because it was just such... Visually, it was so impressive.
Right.
I don't know, but the casting kind of makes me feel a bit... Like it's going to be, it could be a dumb comedy rather than kind of a more exciting kind of action film that I was hoping for. It's Adam Sandler and Josh Gad. Mm.
Adam Sandler, Jesus.
You hope it doesn't become an Adam Sandler film.
Yeah.
With full of dumb jokes. Sinister 2 is out if you like your horror. Another video game movie, Hitman Agent 47, is coming out, starring Rupert Friend from Homeland.
Okay.
As Agent 47. Again, we don't know much about that one.
No.
And there is a comedy, Judd Apatow's new comedy, Trainwreck.
Right.
Which is an edgy thing to call your movie if it doesn't work.
Yeah. But it's critic baiting, isn't it?
But I'm hearing amazing things, because I might have seen it, about John Cena's scene in the film. The wrestler John Cena.
Yeah.
There's a specific scene in the movie which could become the most talked about scene of next year.
Right.
Wow.
Is it if I'd seen it, I could talk about it, but it's quite...
Is it on par with like Tom Cruise's thing in Tropic Thunder?
Yeah.
Right.
It's definitely that kind of thing.
All right.
Yeah, so how about games?
Nothing's out in August. September, though.
This is where it comes into its own.
I would put my money on it. And I don't know this for sure, but I think a FIFA game might come out in September next year.
Okay, how much money are you putting on
Shut your whore mouth.
I would put all of my salary of next year, so about £4.
I'm not taking that bet.
Okay. Other stuff. So, actually, I've got a long list of games here, but that's because these games fall into the... These are coming out probably at some point this year. Most likely, you know, September to December, but obviously No Man's Sky. We've seen a lot of that.
I'll be surprised if that comes out.
Do you think?
I don't know. It's a very ambitious game.
Yeah.
I thought you were of a similar mind. Has that changed since we've seen more and more of it at like PSX and stuff? You feel like it's getting...
Yeah, and also, like, you know, that's 9 months away.
True.
And what else have... Well, they've got to reveal what the actual game does, I guess. That's quite a big part of what's going to happen. But you would have thought that's going to happen early next year.
I think.
You know, we will definitely be playing that at E3. So if it's not out 4 to 6 months later, I'd be... Well, I think it's maybe missed its kind of...
The hype window,
with sales, Star Wars Battlefront, I don't think that will be out next year, if I'm honest, but I wanted to talk about it because it's exciting.
Yeah.
Star Wars film coming out. Obviously, EA showed nothing of it at E3. They showed,
you know, like, it showed people like doing pictures of it.
But like, you know, some of the speeder bike bit looked exciting. Hoth. The teaser with the AT-AT and the snow speeder looked amazing. Hopefully it will reinvent Star Wars games in the same way that the movie will do slightly later in the year. So
there's a lot of money to be made in the next few years if they get it, if they can get it right, that formula right.
Yeah. Yes. Metal Gear Phantom Pain is probably my most anticipated game for next year. I know that there was rumour that that might come out in June because of what Kojima had on his t-shirt. I think that's more likely to be some kind of like beta, whatever you want to say, and then it'll come out later, I think. But even
the later beta,
okay. Yeah. Some of the things that he said when he came into the office in, gosh, March 2014 still hasn't come out.
Yeah.
And I still can't talk about it, but annoying. It's exciting.
And the footage that we saw from Phantom Pain, like a big chunk of gameplay in the jungle, looked incredible.
Looked amazing.
Yeah.
And then you've got the whole online component, which is, you know, same as what GTA is doing. It's like you don't have to play it, but if you do, here's this entire world that you can go and do stuff with. So I've got lots of other games. Let's talk about some films before we get there.
Not much in September, actually. Oh, really? The way around. So a Maze Runner movie, Whitey Bulger movie starring Johnny Depp that doesn't even have a title at the moment.
Is that Maze Runner sequel?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, they're powering through those Maze Runners.
I was going to say, that's...
See the first one. I've seen the first one.
Right.
And I tried to read the book. I got bored halfway through the book.
Right.
It is what you think it is. It's a Hunger Games knockoff that's not quite as good. But it's perfectly, you know, acceptably put together.
Yep.
That's it. Back to you.
Crackdown. Again, only seen a bit of that at E3 this year. One of my favourite series. Loved the original one on the Xbox. So I'm excited to see what they do with that. Again, don't know if it's going to be out next year, but I wanted to highlight it. Rise of Tomb Raider. If you've got an Xbox One, you can follow Lara Croft's adventures, but only on Xbox One, at least for the foreseeable future.
Ooh.
Same with Halo 5 Guardians. There was a beta of that at the end of last year. Multiplayer beta. It's kind of more of the same thing. Final Fantasy 15, Luke's probably most anticipated game for next year. I watched the 11-minute trailer of that and I had no idea what was going on.
Yep.
It's just like a lot of crazy head dudes driving around in Mercedes in front of big creatures. But the other one that I'm excited for, Rainbow Six Siege.
Mm-hmm.
I think like you and I played that at E3.
Yeah.
And it's kind of shooty-shooty.
It's one of those games, again, like Evolve, has a really strong premise. And you know the premise, you know the game. They'll probably release more modes, more maps, more kind of... weapons and gadgets.
Yeah, we only played the multiplayer.
Yeah.
Because they're building the game around multiplayer.
So there's going to be a story.
And then thinking about a single player narrative. Because hopefully it's not Titanfall.
Yeah. But maybe it's just like...
But there was no story in Titanfall.
No. I don't mind it. If there's enough variety and depth to the scenarios and the environments that you're infiltrating.
Yeah.
It's basically a hostage game.
Yeah.
It's like two teams against each other. One team are the terrorists. They're holding a building. They have to fortify it. So you have like a head start. You have 30 seconds to fortify the building. You can put boards and like you can put against the windows. You can strengthen the door. And you have to secure the hostages. The other team get dropped down in a helicopter. And you can communicate and coordinate your actions.
Yeah.
And you have to store the building.
Yeah.
It's such a strong concept for, you know, a two-team game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like fun. You guys were playing it, weren't you, when you were away?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. What about October? What's coming out in October?
October, we have a movie called Everest, which is a big budget 3D movie about, based on a true story about a doomed mountaineering expedition to Everest. Not that long ago, 10, 15 years ago. Jake Gyllenhaal's in it. Lots of good actors. The concept doesn't really interest me terribly much, but it'll obviously be kind of a visually impressive movie. And if you like a disaster movie, again, check it out. Frankenstein's coming out, which I am interested in.
This is
written by Max Landis, directed by Paul McGuigan, I think, who did directed some of the Sherlock episodes. And it's James McAvoy and who's the other good
Radcliffe.
Actor? And Daniel Radcliffe.
He's Igor, isn't he?
Yeah, Radcliffe playing Igor, McAvoy playing Dr. Frankenstein, and it's kind of about the friendship between the two characters, really.
Right.
Sounded like it was almost like a buddy movie. But
like 22 Jump Street.
But a gothic horror at the same time. Okay. So, yeah, just because I like horror, I'm interested in that one. Oh, and there's quite a few more actually coming out that month. We have The Jungle Book, Disney's Jungle Book, which... there's two Jungle Books happening at the moment.
Yeah.
This is the Jon Favreau one, I believe.
Right.
So,
what? Because there's the one that's sort of weird, kind of like in between like real life and animation. Like, which one's that?
I don't know.
Oh.
Andy Serkis is the one that's fully motion capture.
Right,
that's,
okay.
That's his one. So right. If that's the one you mean, then...
It was neither, like, fully... it didn't look obviously animation, yeah. But it didn't look, like, obviously real life. It was kind of this weird kind of mix in the middle.
Hybrid.
I didn't like the style of it.
No.
I only saw the trailer.
I'm not a massive Jungle Book fan anyway, unless you got the songs in there. Which I think they might do, is it's Disney. Bill Murray said he's going to be singing, so maybe it'll be Bill Murray doing I Want to Be Like You.
Right.
Which then I'm interested. We have Crimson Peak coming out, Guillermo del Toro's new horror movie.
Yep.
Big fans of him here, so this is kind of a gothic horror.
Tom Hiddleston,
Jessica Chastain. Yeah, all over that one. Be good to have some horror for Halloween. Spectre's coming out.
Yes.
Pretty big.
Yep. Don't know an awful lot about
it. Tight turnaround for that movie, though. They've only just started shooting it, and it's going to be out in less than a year.
I want to go back and rewatch Skyfall. Because everybody loved
Christmas.
Well, I've got it on Blu-ray.
It's also on Netflix.
But I've only seen it once, and I was a bit like, ugh.
Oh.
But that's why I want to go back and watch it without all of the expectations.
Also, bombed at Christmas. Oh, lovely, Alex.
Yeah, but Casino Royale. I love Casino Royale.
I think, yeah. Anyway.
And that is our third potentially billion-dollar movie of the year.
Ooh.
And a film called Scouts vs. Zombies is coming out.
That sounds good.
Just thought I'd say that out loud.
Probably not going to be great.
Probably not.
No.
And that's your lot for October.
In terms of other games, well, I think around that time we will see Uncharted 4, maybe November. We don't know the exact dates on that kind
of
stuff.
What if, can I just posit something? What if we had a Rise of Tomb Raider versus Uncharted 4?
Head to head,
both platform exclusives, one temperate like time exclusive. Imagine that.
Who would win that battle?
Uncharted 4.
I would rather play Uncharted 4 out of the two games. Yes.
What would sell the most copies?
Oh,
Uncharted 4. I think pretty much almost everyone who owns a PS4.
Yeah.
Like a very high percentage would get that. Whereas I think Xbox, some would.
Yeah.
Because you buy a PlayStation 4 because of Naughty Dog. Yeah.
It's the Halo effect. So whereas Microsoft basically threw all the money at Tomb Raider because they don't have anything to counter.
Comparable to them.
But I don't think it has the same level of clout. So I think I'd probably go
anymore.
Uncharted. And also off the back of the demo. They haven't really shown much of Rise of Tomb Raider at all.
No.
But the demo that they showed of Uncharted at PlayStation Experience looked pretty goddamn good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm excited for that game. And cool. Naughty Dog is an exceptional developer. So they don't put out rubbish games. So that's coming out. And then The Division. Who knows? Is that going to come out next year? Who knows? I hope so. And then lastly, Zelda Wii U, which I am very excited for. I think that will come out tail end of next year. I don't have a Wii U, but I will buy one just for that.
Wowza. That is big talk.
I know. But also, everything they've shown of it so far looks proper.
It's always special when the full Zelda game comes out.
Yeah.
In November, on the movie side of things, we've got the Final Hunger Games movie, Mockingjay Part 2. I'm yet to see Part 1, but I will by the time it rocks around.
When does Part 4 of the Hobbit movie come out?
Well, there'll be the special editions, the extended versions that enjoy.
Can't wait.
But for me, those Hunger Games books got progressively worse and less interesting, so I'm not as excited as you'd normally be at the end of like a
I've only ever seen the first Hunger series. Games, and I'm not particularly... excited to see any of the others, but I might.
Fair enough. We've got The Good Dinosaur coming out. I don't actually know a huge amount about The Good Dinosaur.
It's cute.
Yeah,
that's cute. But it's dinosaurs. That's been delayed, pushed back, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's the year of the dinosaur.
It is.
You sounded a bit Australian then. It's been delayed.
Yep. Open the door, get on the floor.
What's that?
I thought you were going to do it, Alex.
Sorry, I had some. I've had a heavy Christmas. I'm tired.
Have you noticed, though, that new song by Bruno Mars sounds a bit like Walk the Dinosaur, the one that everyone's been raving about?
I haven't, no.
Fact. We've also got a film called The Martian coming out, which is based on a book by a guy called Andy Weir. It's quite an interesting story. He couldn't sell it to anyone, so he self-published it, and it became a huge phenomenon. And to the point that, like, a year and a half later, he got paid a huge amount of money to release it in paperback format.
Right.
So, and it's kind of a very sciencey film. It's a cross between Gravity and Castaway, about an astronaut who gets stranded on Mars. And yep. NASA don't know about it. They don't know he's still alive. And so he's got to survive. He's got to survive for like 3 years, and he's got 100 days worth of supplies to get him through the 3 years.
Right.
So it's directed by Ridley Scott, and it stars Matt Damon. So that's the reason to watch that one.
Okay.
So quite intrigued by that. And that's November.
Assassin's Creed Victory will most likely come out. It's been leaked already. Assassin's Creed comes to Victorian London. Let's hope that it's more of a polished effort than Unity was.
Well, it's Victorian London next year.
Mm. But it's going to be Assassin's Creed. It'd be the same old thing, but with St. Paul's, I would wager.
Probably.
Well, it will.
Yeah, but, you know, kind of. No, I can't. I can't muster the energy to...
I need something new to happen to that franchise to get me excited in it again.
Mm. Monsters.
Just anything. Jack the Ripper. Do you think he'd be in it?
I would think that was maybe like side missions or something like that, yeah. Be great if they just changed it, and like the best ones were recently when they strayed away from taking itself so seriously. Like Assassin's Creed 3 is really like self-regarding installment where it gets so caught up in its own mythology you lose interest. 4 everyone loved because it was just a cool pirate game. It's like, hey, yeah, it's Assassin's Creed, but we've made Pirates of the Caribbean game.
Yeah.
So it'd be great if they made like a Victorian mystery thriller game.
So can we have Jack the Ripper, Sherlock Holmes and Queen Victoria all popping up in it?
I'll phone the developer now and I'll ask.
I can help out.
Well, after this podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. To be honest, who knows what other games coming out? Because we're so far away. It's not like movies where those release dates are set in stone so far in advance.
Sure.
You've got rough ideas of when stuff is coming out and you know, obviously release dates slip. And
just going through this, I get a sense there's a lot less games come out over the course of a year than films.
It depends what type, I think. Yeah. Like, I think the really big games, probably that's fair. But then obviously then there's all the kind of lower tier stuff.
We're only just touching
mobile,
the surface.
But
that's like a...
So December, there's not a lot of films coming out.
There's only
moment,
one thing to talk about there.
There's two actually, because on Boxing Day you've got Mission Impossible 5 coming out.
That will disappear.
And those films have gotten progressively bigger with each entry.
Is that right?
To the point that the last one, the one that
Ghost Protocol,
Ghost Protocol, is the biggest Mission Impossible film and maybe the biggest Tom Cruise movie of all time. It was huge.
Who's directed the fourth?
Staggered by that.
Is this Brad Bird?
This one is the guy that did Jack Reacher, who wrote Usual Suspects, and I can't remember his name. Chris McQuarrie.
The last one was Brad Bird.
Yeah. They're actually a license to print money now these days. I really enjoy them.
Yeah. I always enjoy the.
But they're not a patch on Star Wars, are they?
Well, it depends which Star Wars movie you're on about.
So, yeah, everyone's running scared. There's not much coming out in December around December the 18th because Star Wars The Force Awakens comes out, which will very potentially be the biggest film of next year. And it has a chance. I see that already the debate's happening online whether it could be the biggest film of all time, whether it could overtake Avatar.
Yeah.
People are doubtful, but I don't know.
Honestly, I find that amazing that Avatar...
Avatar was huge.
I know,
it was huge,
but why?
I don't know. But people loved it at the time and went to see it multiple times. We're going to be spend the next year talking about this movie.
We are.
But that is... it's the roadmap for the next X years out. We know there's two more films as well.
2015 is the year that everything kind of kickstarts from the Marvel slate. DC is slightly behind, and then Star Wars, that's when it all goes crazy.
Yeah, and you know, there are J.J. Abrams naysayers out there. But really, with this one, I don't feel like there's been a huge amount that I've seen or heard that's made me... not excited by it. There's not been negativity coming out of this one, from the cast to the trailer to, you know, having the old and the new it's all feeling good and positive.
So if you had to pick one film that you're personally excited for next year, 2015,
well, I thought about this, and normally, you know, I like my indies and I'd like to pick something a bit more serious, and I don't think it's a great year next year for a lot of my favourite directors haven't got movies coming out.
Right.
I'm really embarrassed to say it's Star Wars for me.
Don't be embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed, Chris.
But it just seems like the very obvious one to go for.
Yeah.
But it is. It's the one that I, if I could see any film next year now, it'd be that one.
Yeah.
With maybe Tomorrowland second, just because I like not knowing about something. I like a bit of mystery around my movies, in the same way I was super excited to see Super 8 and then a bit disappointed when I finally saw it. But yeah, Star Wars. What about you, movie-wise, guys?
Are you going to go...
Jurassic World.
You are over Star Wars?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was just, it was my Star Wars when I grew up. I had all the toys. It hit the right age for me. I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no one's picking Avengers 2? Because I'm going to go Star Wars. But that's because I've grown up on Star Wars. And, you and I both agree the trailer was like, if it wasn't Star Wars, you wouldn't think twice about it.
Yeah.
But still part of me... Yeah, I can't help myself.
It got me more excited than the Jurassic Park trailer did. The Jurassic World trailer got me. So,
but I do agree with Cooper. It's like the idea of going and exploring the park itself for the first half of the movie or whatever it might be. It's hugely exciting.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Star Wars.
It's all really those three films are very close. But yeah,
yeah.
And what I'm really hoping for is a new series of Sherlock. This time next year, we will be watching or will have watched. Mm. Don't think anything's dated yet, but there's a good chance that'll be happening. Cause
some of the best TV.
Yeah, it's often my favourite thing of the year is Sherlock.
Also for BBC, they've got now two absolutely... They're huge stars when the last series came around, but now they've got Doctor Strange and you've got Bilbo Baggins. And I don't know what Martin Freeman's doing next, but yeah.
He'll do all right.
Pretty awesome for the BBC.
Yeah.
So games-wise, what is your number one?
Like I said before, Metal Gear Phantom Pain. It's just because I personally love the franchise and it's the kind of game that I'll spend hours playing and just kind of exploring. But, there are so many good games coming out next year. But Metal Gear, for me.
Bloodborne and Zelda. Two very similar games,
but different settings.
Bloodborne.
Right. Fair enough.
And for me, I'm just hoping there's going to be an update on Words With Friends for me to download.
Good. Or a new Angry Birds.
Next gen
version. Sure there will be a new Angry Birds.
Flappy Birds too. Cool. God, it feels like we've been here forever.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it a long one?
Oh, it was 2016.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that is it for our look ahead to 2015. We hope you enjoy the year as much as we are looking forward to it. So we will see you throughout the rest of the year. So
yeah, maybe just tell us which one you're looking forward to most, which game, which film.
How do they do that?
To the podcast email address.
Which is?
Daniel, I don't want
IGN
to
underscore UK feedback at IGN.com, which we might change in the new year.
I think we might.
Should we change it to duck on at IGN.com?
Why not?
Is that legally?
But
not yet.
Don't say
not
it. Yet. Don't
but not yet. But not yet. Yes. So IGN underscore UK feedback.
So yeah, all the very best to you and we will see you soon.
Soon.
Well, say goodbye or something.
Goodbye. I thought we were ending on that.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that. As well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.